Scripture reading for tonight comes from Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And at the same time, I will ask you, congregation, to open your Trinity Psalter hymnals and have them or keep them open, please, in Lord's Day 35, as we are going to consider the second commandment tonight. So Lord's Day 35, this is in page 890 in our Trinity Psalter hymnals, and also Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is in page 1091. Hear God's holy and inspired word. Romans 1, verses 18 through 25. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, been understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools, and exchanging the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man, and birds, and animals, and reptiles. Therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. I will ask you to keep, if possible, your Trinity Psalter hymnals open in page 890 tonight. Dear congregation of the Lord, in my hometown, Quito, there is this big old Roman Catholic church building that is very important, actually, because it was the first church ever built in Quito. And when the priests went to Ecuador, they wanted to build a big church in order to evangelize the heathen, in order to evangelize the Indians. And they decided that if they wanted to reach the people, if they wanted to reach the Indians, they needed more than an army. They needed to conquer the old gods, the heathen gods. So while they were building this church, they included inside of the walls of this church many paintings and art about Jesus. So when you walk inside the church, you see the way of salvation. And you see many images about Jesus. But also, something special exists inside this church. If you walk in the middle of the church through the principal nave, right in, behind the altar, there is this big painting, massive painting about Jesus being crowned on heaven. And during the summer solstice, very close to us right now, a very important festivity, by the way, for the Indians, something special happens. There is a small window in the top of the church that directs the light of the sun from there to the wall in front of the altar. And for several minutes, the light touches the face of Jesus. And every single time that this happened, the priest said to the Indians, "You see, even your God worships our God. Therefore, our God is better than yours." Now, when the Indians saw this, they never surrendered to the gospel. They never understood what was going on. So what they did with this was simply to cover their own religion and to redress their deities with different names. So, for example, the deity of the sun, the God known as Inti, became to them the Jesus of the paintings. And the goddess of the earth, the Pachamama, became to them simply Mary. So the offerings of the Pachamama, for example, now were being offered to Mary, and the offerings of fruits and the dances and drunkenness became the offering to Jesus. Nothing changed, just the names. And you can quickly feel the tension, right? There was no change at all in them. These Indians continue being hidden people. And the Romanist strategy failed because they wanted to convert them to Christianity. And instead of that, what they got was a mixed religion with a mixed practice. And what they harvest with this strategy was the result of ignoring the second commandment. They thought that if they do paintings, they thought that if they represent visibly God, then the Indians will understand. Now, if you see the catechism tonight, the catechism is actually advising us and warning against these human inventions and against these kind of strategies that the Romanists tried to do. And what we see tonight is how we can proclaim the excellencies of God in pure worship. And the catechism is reflecting in the fact that we are called to worship Him in the spirit and in truth. That is why if you see your bulletins, you will see that the theme of my sermon tonight continues the idea of last week. We are to proclaim the excellencies of God in pure worship. Remember last week we saw how we are to proclaim the excellencies of God in faithfulness. Now we are going to see how we are to proclaim the excellencies of God in pure worship. And we are going to study this commandment in 3 points corresponding to the 3 answers, question and answers of the Heidelberg Catechism. So first, we are going to see what the commandment means. This is in question and answer 96. Second, we are going to see the extent of the commandment in question and answer 97. And finally, we are going to see the reason for the commandment in question and answer 98. So 3 points. What the commandment means, the extent of the commandment, and the reason for the commandment. Let us see then our first point, what the commandment means. Now, if you can, look with me once more, question 96. What is God's will for us in the second commandment? The answer, that we in no way make any image of God nor worship Him in any other way that has been commandment in God's word. Now, congregation, look and notice how this question is phrased. Let me read it for you again. What is God's will for us? What is God's will for us? This is the first and most crucial thing that we need to understand. As people that has been rescued by God, as people that has been purchased by Jesus Christ, we are not to follow our own will. We are here to follow His will. He knows what is best. And then the answer of the catechism can be parted in two or divided in two parts. The first part affirms we are in no way to make images of God. And we need to ask here perhaps why. Have you wondered that, boys and girls? Why? Why are we not to make images of God? Have you asked that to your parents? Let me help you to explain this. Why? The reason why we are not allowed to make images of God lies in the nature of God. And we can take just 2 examples about 2 God attributes and explain this reason. First, the Bible is clear that God is spirit. This is what Jesus is telling to the disciples in John 4:24. Let me read it for you. God, says Jesus, is a spirit, and His worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. So, as a pure spiritual being, God cannot be portrayed by us because we cannot understand how a spirit looks like. Have you seen a spirit? How does it look like? And how do we know that we are actually representing fairly God in that way? Therefore, every single time that we try to make images about God, we are actually distorting who God is. we are lying. The second reason lies in the fact that God is eternal. And the Bible is also clear in this fact, congregation, that God doesn't have a beginning nor an end. Let me read for you Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So, boys and girls, how does eternity, infinity, looks like? Can you imagine that in your hands? It's certainly bigger than this, and bigger than anything else. You can't even imagine it. It's impossible. We can't. We cannot make justice to a concept like eternity or infinity. And actually, that is the error of the heathen and the pagan religions, because they imagine that God is like them. They imagine that God is like what they see and what they know. That's why Paul in Romans, that we read tonight, says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles." So every single time that we try to do an image of God, we are actually doing injustice to who God is. Because in the end, only God knows himself totally and completely. We cannot. We are lying every single time that we try to depict God. That is why God has called us to worship him in spirit. That is why God has called us to proclaim his excellencies in pure worship. A worship that doesn't need images. A worship that depends on the Spirit and his truth. But maybe here, somebody who is really smart can come to you and say, "Okay, Christian, you are saying to me that we cannot portray God. Is that correct?" And I will say, "Yes." "Okay, then tell me, what about Jesus? After all, Jesus was human, right? He had human flesh. He had a human body. Can we not depict Jesus?" And here we need to recognize that this is a very clever question. This is used by many people to have images of God in Protestant churches. But we need to reply, congregation, that Jesus, in his person, he had two natures. A divine nature and a human nature, and that we cannot separate those two natures. Therefore, since we cannot separate those two natures, we cannot make images of Jesus either. Because how do we know? We are actually being guilty of a heresy, trying to depict Jesus without his divinity. Now, look with me the second part of the answer of the catechism. We are not to worship God in any way that has been commanded in God's word. Since God has revealed himself in his word, we understand that God has told us how we are to worship himself. How we are to worship God, excuse me. He has revealed in his word how we are to serve him. And perhaps here an illustration helps. There is this funny video circulating on the internet, and it's about a couple that is looking for a church to worship in. And they visit several churches, and in the end, they arrive to the Instagram church. And for those who you don't know what Instagram is, it's just a social media platform to share pictures. And they arrive to the Instagram church, and the person who is welcoming them to the church says, "Oh, this is a very modern church. And the pastor is very relevant. He uses Instagram to preach. And the best of all, the sermon lasts no more than 10 minutes. And they are like, "Wow, this is amazing." And then he says, "And also, let me tell you, they are looking for a guitarist. There is a place in the praise band for you if you like." And he is like, "Wow, can you imagine that, honey? Me in that big podium with my guitar and playing a guitar solo for 35 minutes? wow, I feel blessed already. And this is a parody, I understand, but this is the way many churches work today. They are looking to worship themselves instead of worshiping the Lord. That's the reason why, boys and girls, that we don't have praise bands here or 35-minute guitar solos, because we are not to worship ourselves. We don't come here to worship us. We come here to worship the Lord. And the Lord has made clear how we are to worship Him. It sounds attractive to have crazy lights in the pulpit and a praise band. But in the end, that kind of things only reveals a man-centered worship, not a Christ-centered worship. And that's why the Catechism reminds us that contrary to that, the Lord has called us to proclaim His excellencies in pure worship. In the end, how we worship matters. How we worship matters. And this kind of spiritual worship without images, centered in Christ and His Word, will show the world that we don't serve ourselves, that we are not serving a God that we invented, that we made up, but that we are worshiping a holy God, the holy God of the Bible, that is different to everything that they know. That's very important. So far we have seen how the Lord's will for us is not to make images of Him, that the reason behind this commandment lies in God's nature, in God's holy nature, in His spiritual nature, in His eternal nature, in His attributes, and that He has defined in His Word how we are to worship God, not according to our imagination, not according to our taste or likeness, but according to His Word. Now, this leads us to our second point, the extent of the commandment. Look with me again, question and answer 97. May we then not make any image at all? The answer: God cannot and may not be visibly portrayed in any way. Although creatures may be portrayed, yet God forbids making of or having such images in order to worship them or serve God through them. And after affirming again the reality of God's nature and that we cannot portray God in any way, the Catechism now is taking certain limits and the extent of the commandment. What is the extent of the commandment? Does the commandment mean that since we are human beings made in the image of God, therefore we are not to depict ourselves, therefore we are not to take pictures of ourselves? Is that what the commandments mean? And the Catechism here is answering those questions, because when the Catechism was written, there was this group called the Anabaptists. And the Anabaptists were Christians who were very extreme. And they said, you are not to make images of anything. You cannot portray nature. You cannot portray yourself. You cannot portray animals or plants. But against this tendency to overreact, the Catechism affirms that the focus of the commandment is God alone. Only Him is incomprehensible. Only Him is eternal. We, therefore, as creatures, can take pictures, can paint, can make art, and yes, boys and girls, even take selfies. So feel good about that. The commandment is giving us freedom of depiction of nature and creation, but not concerning the Lord. The biblical reasoning of the reformers here in the Catechism is that in the Bible, we never find condemnation concerning pictures of creatures. For example, in Matthew 22, verses 17 to 21, the Pharisees come to Jesus and they ask, let me read it for you. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose image is this? And whose inscription? Caesar's, They replied. Then he said to them, "So, give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." So the reasoning of the reformers was, if making images of creatures is wrong, then why Jesus doesn't say, don't even touch this coin? Reject it, because this is making an idol. He's not saying that. He actually saying, pay to Caesar what is Caesar's. Also, we have examples of God using art and human abilities to decorate the temple. And you can find examples of that in Exodus 25 and also in 2 Kings, when Solomon, remember, is building the temple and he does and he hires these artisans and they make the pomegranates and the decorations for the temple. So, we are allowed to make art. We can pursue art, not for worship, not to worship them, but for our enjoyment in daily lives. And here, let me just call your attention for a practical implication. Maybe not many of you know this, maybe few of you know this, but my professional training is in graphic design. So I had to take 4 classes in history of art. And when we arrived to the Reformation, my teacher, she was an unbeliever, she is an unbeliever, she said, the Reformation is such a very important history and such an important part of art, because it is thanks to Reformation that we are allowed to pursue art today and now. And I think she is right, because when we see here question and answer 97, we see precisely that. The reformers understood that pictorial art doesn't belong to church, doesn't belong in worship, belongs to public life. Art doesn't have anything to do in church. And just as an example of this, you, as people who came from the Netherlands, have lots of good painters. Rembrandt, Van Gogh, Vermeer, Hals, Kuip. Their work would have been impossible without question and answer 97. That actually gave them the freedom to pursue art. So, when we proclaim the excellencies of God in pure worship, we actually are free to pursue our professional calling. Are you, any of you boys and girls, good at drawing or sculpting or painting? That's good. There's nothing wrong in that, because the Lord has given you that ability. But you are not free to depict God. You are free to depict creation. And again, the catechism warns us against this very human tendency. The Heidelberg wants to make clear that although we have this freedom to pursue this art, we are not free to worship God through them. And you need to understand that Rome, especially, and his church and their buildings were designed to channel God through objects. If you have been in a Roman church, you will notice that when you enter in a Roman church, everything around is designed to channel God. The saints, the walls, and everything that exists inside is designed to channel God. You go and you pray to the saint, and you are channeling God. You go and you see these small bones in crystal jars, designed to call God. Against this, the reformers are saying, no, we are not to worship God through these kind of objects. But this also happens in evangelical circles. Have you find these people that feel that the house felt holier just because you have a cross in the wall with a Bible verse, or maybe a cross around your neck? Then you feel protected. Is that so? And here, congregation, I'm not saying that it's wrong to have ornaments. I'm not saying that it's wrong to have these kind of little things that make the house look beautiful. But I'm saying that there is this temptation in us to try to think that we are serving God through these objects. And that's what the catechism is warning us against. So we need to remember that we are to proclaim the excellencies of God in pure worship, a worship that he has revealed through his word. Now, we have seen how God, because of his nature, cannot be portrayed in any way by us. That if we try to do that, actually we are dishonoring God. That he delights in the pure worship that he has revealed in his word and in his will. And that we have received freedom to depict nature. So making these kind of distinctions will actually help us to proclaim the excellencies of God in pure worship. Now this leads us to our third point, the reason for the commandment. Look with me, question 98. But may not images, as books for the unlearned, be permitted in churches? Look the answer. No. We should not try to be wiser than God. He wants the Christian community instructed by the living preaching of his word, not by idols that cannot even talk. So this is actually touching what I talked to you about in my introduction. The Heidelberg is saying we should be instructed only by God's word alone. And here, we also need to be aware of recent errors that have populated the evangelical church. Let me give you a proper illustration concerning this. Several years ago, a very famous movie was premiered, The Passion of Christ of Mel Gibson. And I remember, because I was a child, a teenager, when many pastors came with this brilliant idea. Okay, let's invite people to the church, let's show them the movie, and after that, we invite them to church. Who needs the gospel? We have a movie. That's better, right? And how there was a big news coverage over this, how people were coming to the churches and watching the news here in America and Latin America too, and how they were saying, yes, oh, the movie was so good, and I'm going to go to church from now on. Next Sunday, nobody appeared in church. Just the same people. So no revival, no change, nothing. Just emotion. But what is worse after that, it began a new movement. Christian evangelistic movies. Christian evangelistic movies. And the bottom line of this is, we don't need God's word. We have movies. We can convert people to Christ through movies. And we need to understand, congregation, that the error in this is that they are despising God's word and changing God's word for something else. The Lord, our God, has not given us a movie. He has given us his word in 66 books that confirm one book called the Bible. We as Christians are people of the word. Believe me, if God will wanted to give to us a movie, then you think we will have it? But we don't. We have a book, and we are people of the word. And the same happens with every strategy that tries to replace God's word and place itself instead of the Bible. So you name it. It's just despising what God has given to us. And I understand the modern pressure to the churches when they say, change, or you will lose your people. They will go. You need to be a consumer-oriented church. You need to sell them the gospel. You need to find what they like. But to those kind of arguments, we need to reply to them, no. Because we should not try to be wiser than God. He has called us to proclaim his excellencies in pure worship. And therefore, we are going to follow God's will for us. Nor what we like, not what we want, but what God wants. Now, in every single time that these churches, of that the churches surrender to these pressures, actually what they give away is the gospel. This actually already happened with the liberal churches on the 19th and 20th century, when they tried to find the real Jesus, and what they found was a Jesus like themselves. They take away the Bible and they put themselves in the center. And here, congregation, let me encourage you. We as Reformed Christians have such a privilege of having the confessions and the right preaching of God's Word and the proclamation of the excellencies of God in pure worship. Our faith is so rich and so wonderful that let me ask you, why not to share it? Why not to share it with others? And you will be surprised about how many people outside there, even in Christian churches, in Protestant churches, are starving because they don't have what we have, pure preaching of the Word, pure worship. And let me encourage you, invite your friends. Walk them through the service. Show them this pure worship of the Lord. If this is good, right, why we don't share it? And boys and girls, this is for you too. Why don't you invite your friends here to church? We don't need lights. We have something better than that. We have His Word. We don't need 35 minutes guitar solo. We have His Word. And believe me, they will thank you later. So, the Lord has called us to proclaim the excellencies of God in pure worship. And this actually demands from us that we put the Lord at the center, that we are brave to proclaim the gospel to others, brave to believe God instead of the world, brave to tell others about the gospel. And this is a big privilege that God has given us His Word. God has given us His revelation, the story about God, that being full of richness, the second person of the Trinity, He lived that, set that aside and became man. And He came here to live, to die, and to resurrect for you, so we can have an eternal inheritance. And it's because of this Word, it's because of this gospel, that we can actually proclaim His worship to others. Is this because of this word, that weak men like me can proclaim to you the good news of the gospel? But it's also because this word is the reason because why you can share His Word to others. So in trusting in God's Word alone, we can be tools for the advancement of the gospel. So congregation, may the Lord help us in the midst of a watching world, in the midst of our working field, schools, high schools, as we proclaim the excellencies of God in pure worship. May the Lord help us to remember who God is and help us to never surrender to the worldly pressures outside. Amen. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for your Word, and thank you for our Heidelberg Catechism and the teaching that is in there. Help us to remember that who you are needs to inform the way in which we worship you. We want to ask you for those that maybe are seeking and for those who are around us. We maybe don't know them, but you do. So we want to ask you, give us the opportunities to talk to them. Give us the words to talk about who you are, to be witness to them, to proclaim to them your excellencies. That when they come here, they may realize they are not worshiping themselves. This is different of what I have seen. They are worshiping the Lord. Help us, Father, to be those witness. Use us as your tools to proclaim your gospel, and help us to be faithful as we seek to worship you in spirit and in truth. We ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen.